Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and that they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. And eyewitnesses testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you may come to believe. For this happened, so that the scripture passage might be fulfilled. Not a bone of it will be broken. And again, another passage that says, they will look upon him whom they have pierced. Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. The rubrics of the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite gives the priest the option, for the good of the faithful, to celebrate on Sunday what is called the external solemnity of feasts that occur during the week. So today, we celebrate the external solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, which the Church Universal celebrated, we know, on Friday. I had the great joy to celebrate Mass with Pope Francis in St. Peter's Square in the Vatican this Friday, as part of the Church's celebration of the Jubilee of Mercy for priests. There, the Holy Father reminded the priests of the world that Jesus' heart not only shows us mercy, but is mercy itself. And therefore, the celebration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus must really be one of the most important feasts of this extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy. Pope Francis preached to us words that deserve an echo on this external solemnity. He said that in Jesus' heart, the Father's love shines forth. There, I know I am welcomed and understood as I am. There, with all my sins and limitations, I know the certainty that I'm chosen and loved. Contemplating that heart tells us that his love is limitless, that it's never exhausted, and that it never gives up. There, we see his infinite and boundless self-giving. There, we find the source of that faithful and meek love that sets us free and makes others free. There, we constantly discover anew that Jesus loves us even to the end, without ever being imposing. Contemplating the heart of Christ, he finished, we are faced with the fundamental question of our life. Where is our heart directed? What is my heart set on? What is the treasure it seeks? For as Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be as well. And so today, on this external solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, we ought to dive into the deep end of those essential existential questions. It's always struck me as noteworthy that we don't have the feast of Jesus' sacred brain, even though Jesus is the eternal Logos. We don't honor his hallowed hands, which in spite of calluses from hard work in a hidden Nazarene carpentry shop, brought a tender healing touch to so many. There's no commemoration of the Lord's consecrated feet, which traversed the ancient Holy Land as he announced the good news from town to town. There's no liturgical observation of Jesus' blessed eyes, which looked on the rich young man with love and were so powerful that with one glance they could make Peter weep in the high priest's courtyard. There's no festival of his venerable voice, which amplified the word of God made man. Well, there would be a certain fittingness to honoring all of these parts of Jesus' sacred anatomy, especially since his head was crowned with thorns for us, his hands and feet pierced by nails for us, his eyes bruised and beaten, and his voice thoroughly parched on Good Friday out of love for us. Jesus never asked that we do so. Rather, when he began to appear to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in 1673 in Paray-le-Monial, France, he did so to request that a feast be instituted to honor him under the image and the reality of his Sacred Heart, which not only shows mercy, but is mercy. The Lord's reason for choosing his heart will always remain in some way a great and beautiful mystery. But even with our limited human intellects, we can come up with at least two partial explanations why. First, according to the language and imagery of the Bible, the heart has always been considered the center of the person, the point where reason, will, and emotions converge, the place where one finds his inner unity and direction. To honor Jesus' heart means that we give homage to his entire sacred humanity, conscious that Jesus took on our humanity in order to offer it for us, to redeem it, and to make it once again the sacred dwelling place of God. To honor his heart means that we want our humanity to be transformed by his, so that we might come fully alive and thereby glorify God. Second, one doesn't have to be a poet to grasp that the heart is the organ that most effectively symbolizes love. To adore Jesus' heart is to venerate his unbelievable love for us. When Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, he exposed his heart, and she saw it engulfed in flames, a visible sign of the passion with which he burns with love for us. Twice during the Last Supper, Jesus said that he loves us as much as the Father loves him, and the Father couldn't possibly love him more. So Jesus' love for us has no limit. Jesus himself revealed this to St. Margaret Mary when she saw his heart exposed and ardent, crowned also by thorns. Jesus would say, "No one has greater love than to lay down his life for his friends." And the crown of thorns in the midst of the flames enveloping his heart is a sign of just how much suffering Jesus' love for us was willing to bear. That's the direction of Jesus' heart. That's where his treasure is, in loving us with his mercy until the very extreme, in seeking to make our hearts like his. Because Jesus at the Incarnation took on a human heart, however, his heart, just like your heart and mine, can be broken. And it has been. And not just when his heart was pierced with a lance upon the cross, as we heard in today's Gospel. Whenever we fail to align our heart and treasure with the love that beats in his heart for us, his heart is wounded. Jesus is not stoically indifferent to our rejection, but feels our unrequited love in the depths of his human heart and divine and human love. Don't take my word for it. Jesus himself said it to St. Margaret Mary in 1675. Pointing to his heart, he said to her, "Behold the heart that has so much loved men that it spared nothing, even exhausting and consuming itself in testimony of its love. Instead of gratitude, though, I receive from most only indifference, irreverence, coldness, sacrilege, and scorn that men have for me in the sacrament of love." Jesus' expression for the gift of himself in the Eucharist. If that wasn't enough to make us weep, he went on. "What pains me most keenly," he said, "is that hearts of those consecrated to me treat me in this way." By this he was not just referring to priests and religious who take the love he shows us in the Eucharist for granted, but to all those who have been consecrated him in baptism. He gives himself to us not just every Sunday, but every day of the year. But we have to ask ourselves in the Feast of the Sacred Heart, when we celebrate the sacrament of his love, is our heart set on that gift? on the love with which Jesus constantly exhausts and consumes himself in love for us. In response to literally most treating him in the sacrament of love with indifference, by missing Mass as if it makes no difference, Jesus wants us to make him in the Mass the greatest difference maker in our life, our true priority, the source and the summit of our existence, the fulcrum of our week and our day. Is that where our heart's set? Totally polarized on him who comes down from heaven to earth to meet us in our city every day. In response to most who treat him with irreverence, who just go through the motions, or even pray Mass poorly as if it doesn't matter, Jesus wants us to respond to him with deep piety, to love him back the way that he passionately loves us. Is that where our treasure is? Contrast to most who relate to him with coldness and a lack of enthusiasm, who come to Mass as bored, distracted spectators, just seeking for it to be over as soon as possible, rather than ardent participants. Jesus wants us to be so much more passionate about him at the Mass than the most fanatical sports fans are during a successful championship run. Instead of treating him with scorn, as most do, he wants us to relate to him with grateful appreciation. And rather than receiving him sacrilegiously, without being in a state of grace, he wants us to receive him with souls fully intent on holiness and totally cleansed of sin. And those of us who are consecrated to him through our baptism, in a sense, have a duty to make reparation for all those who treat him poorly. If he feels most keenly the lack of love from those who are consecrated, then how much more consoling will the love of those who are conscious of their special dedication to him be? And the best way we train to do so is by receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist with the precedence, the piety, the passion, the praise, and the purity. In short, the love with which he deserves. What he focused on with Margaret Mary was the way we treat him in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. When he appeared to St. Faustina in the 1930s, he asked her to be his secretary to reawaken the whole world with regard to the way that we regard him in the sacrament of his forgiveness. He said to her and through her to us, and here the connection to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I desire that you know more profoundly the love that burns in my heart for souls. Call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners, how much I desire their salvation. He asked her to say this prayer based on the blood and water that flowed from his side on Calvary that we just pondered in the Gospel and that St. John called us all to behold the one we've pierced. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Heaven rejoices more, Jesus would tell us in the Gospel, for one repentant sinner than for 99 righteous persons who never needed to repent. But even more people treat Jesus in the sacrament of his mercy with indifference, irreverence, coldness, scorn, and sacrilege, then treat him in this way in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And we know, too, that there are priests who don't treat Jesus with love in the sacrament of confession and don't come. And we know that among Sunday Mass-going Catholics, 62% in the United States, Sunday Mass-going Catholics, 62% testify that they go to receive Jesus' forgiveness less than once a year, as every Catholic is required to do in canon law. Jesus died in order to take away our sins, and most of them don't let him take away our sins. We don't come to Him trusting in His mercy, so that that blood and water that flowed from His side as a fount of mercy for us hits the ground rather than irrigates the soul that was so precious that He died to save it. During this Jubilee of Mercy, we have the opportunity for us to turn things around, to trust anew and wholeheartedly, to show our gratitude, to allow Jesus' mercy to forgive us of our failings and give us His help to love Him as He deserves. It's also a chance for the whole church to ponder, partake in, and proclaim His mercy, and bring many others to receive within the mercy beating with healing fire in the Sacred Heart of Christ. If we come to this external solemnity, the Sacred Heart of Jesus today, and we leave without a greater appreciation for the sacrament of His mercy, it's almost as if we've wasted this great privilege. But if we come and we hear that knock of Jesus' scarred and gloriously figured hand knocking on us, just saying, please let me in. Please let me in. Please let me in. Then, how greatly we will console Jesus in all of heaven. The Feast of the Sacred Heart is meant to help us to recognize once again the direction of Jesus' heart and to recalibrate the direction of our own. It's a gift to transform us, to educate our hearts, to love Jesus and to love like Jesus, to make Him and His mercy and His real presence in the Eucharist the true and lasting treasure of our heart. This is the way that St. Paul's prayer at the end of today's epistle will be fulfilled, and that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith, so that we, rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and depth and height of His love, and to know the mercy of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and be filled with the very fullness of God. In order to be filled with God, the key is to open ourselves up first to His mercy. And that's what this feast gives us the chance to do. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in You. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, make our hearts like unto Thine. Amen.